من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، وصلى الله على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد.
We from the start of this holy month of Ramadan have been covering a lot of topics. Mainly my emphasis was on correcting our beliefs and structuring and organizing the way we think about Islam, and to arrive at what is called hikmat in the language of Quran and Hadith. And hikmat has been praised. وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever is given hikmat has been given a great goodness. خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. I would like to discuss briefly about the different levels of khair. Khair, first of all, the word khair, what it means, there we can go from there. Khair is something that you choose to do and you think it's good for you. You see the word ikhtiyar, khair, from the kha, ya, ra, you make a lot of words in Arabic. Mukhayyir, ikhtiyar, mukhtar, you know, takhyir, khiyar, all of these are words taken from khair. Khair is goodness. Why is it goodness? Because you ikhtiyar, you choose it. Naturally, you want to choose something that is good for you. You won't choose to jump from a cliff. You choose to, unless someone is completely gone. But people choose to do good things. So khair are the things people choose to do that are good. So what you choose to do, right, which you think is good for you, brings some sort of pleasure for you. That's why the khair is in many stages. You choose to do something, you believe something is good for you, right, and you do it, and you achieve it, and it brings you some kamal, right? For example, maal is khair, wealth, money is khair. Why is it? Is it khair? Because it brings you some sort of pleasure. Because you spend that money on food, for example, you buy a house with money, so it brings you pleasure. It brings you, asayesh, as they call, comfort. So all physical pleasures come out. So khair, one level of khair is something that is kamal, in the sense that it brings you physical pleasure, some comfort or pleasure or happiness related to your body. In that sense, marriage is also khair. Just for anyone, I'm saying, Muslim, non-Muslim, anyone. Why do people settle down? Why do people, live together? Because it brings them pleasure. So that is a kamal in itself. Now, in our religion, that has been, there are some conditions. For example, to live together, you should have a aqdun nikah, for instance. And there are conditions that you have to observe to get married, for example, right? So one level of khair is things that brings us some sort of pleasure for our bodies. Then there are other levels of khair also. And the highest level of khair is intellectual and spiritual khairat. So there are khairat maddi, there are khairat ruhani. Between them also maratib. There's kamalat, there's kamalat which are related to our imagination. The things you imagine, you get pleasure out of it. Then there are khair, which are wahmi, kamal, which is wahmi. For example, a sense of being powerful, a feeling of being free, feeling of being powerful, or feeling of owning things, you know, that gives you some power and control. But the highest level of khair is related to the things that brings you kamal. Kamal in the sense that it gives you a spiritual pleasure. So the pleasure arrived from, achieved from ilm, is greater than the pleasure arrived from food, for example. You eat good food, you enjoy good food, that is limited to your body. In one of the akhwal narrated from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, I will go over the meaning of that, what his statement is, but I may not remember exact words. Ya Kumail, al-ilmu khayrun min al-mal. Imam said to Kumail, O Kumail, knowledge is better than money, better than what you own, wealth. Al-ilmu yahrusuka wa anta tahrusul mal. Knowledge protects you, guards you, right? But you protect your money. You are always worried about, you know, having alarm system in your house or some, you know, be safe, a fence around your house, right? Lock the door. You leave the car, you have to lock it, make sure it's parked in a safe place, right? You have $5, you may not worry so much. If you have $5,000, now you are worrying about opening an account, keeping it in a safe place. If you have more money, then you are worrying even more because you have to do something to invest so that you grow that money. So, and you are protecting the money. Al-ilmu khayrun min al-mal. Knowledge is better than money. Al-ilmu yahrusuka wa anta tahrusul mal. Right? Halaka khuzanul amwal. Wal-ulama'u baquna ma baqiyad dar. People, the keepers of wealth, they perished. They died and they were lost. Right? Halaka khuzanul amwal. Khazanadar. Those who used to keep hoard money in their accounts, money in treasures, in the investments and bonds and God knows what else, right? They all died and they are lost. Nobody knows about, you know, there's not much done in memory of rich people. وَالْعُلَمَاءُ بَاقُونَ مَا بَقِيَ الدَّهَرِ. But the people with knowledge are always alive. بَقُونَ مَا بَقِيَ الدَّهَرِ. As long as there is this world, is exists, people, scholars will be remembered. And that is true for scholars in all fields, right? Scientists are remembered for what they discovered, right? People who discovered or invented something, people who presented some theories that solved problems, you know, people who researched and found cure for something, people who worked on some social problem and found some solutions for the people, right? All of these people who really were pioneers in any field of knowledge, they are remembered. And the highest were people who presented the answers to the most important and serious questions of life. You know, who created us? Why did He create us? And have a logical system of thinking, you know, a cohesive system of practicing that regulates, for example, the roles of people in the society, that regulates the rights and responsibilities, that creates a balance in all the things that happen in a society, keep things in their proper place, provide answers to questions about where are we going from this world. You know, people who were such philosophers, that who answers these fundamental questions. And among those who were thinking, among those philosophers, that the highest of them were the Anbiya and Mursaleen, alayhi salam. No one answered these questions better than the Anbiya, alayhi salam. Because of the highest gift of Allah given to them, the Aql-e Kamil, because their Aql was Kamil, their intellect was really perfect. That's why they provided the best answers to these questions. They were able to philosophize better than any other human being. They were the best of them, best of the best. Because their thinking had no mistakes and errors. They had a good grasp of what they were thinking. They did not fall into any errors in thinking, for example. And also because they presented the answers to practical questions. Right? For example, what are the rules of, let's say, inheritance? What are the rules on my money? Who has right over my money? The money I earn, what do I do with this money? Where are the rights and responsibilities in the society? What kind of people have authority over what kind of matters and things, right? Practical issues, for example, as a society of believers, how should we interact? They said you should interact, for example, on Fridays you should gather for Salatul Jummah. On the occasion of Hajj, once a year you should gather in such and such place. And for example, issues, another aspect, so there was this answer, the philosophical matters, then practical matters, right? Then social matters, if there is injustice in the society, these religious and these philosophers who were gifted with revelation, right? They were also leaders in a society. They also stood up, right, for justice. So, for example, leaders have become corrupt. They are abusing power. They are, for example, stealing from public wealth. This and that. So these religious scholars who are philosophers, they administered justice in the society. Another important role, right? These are remembered. These are virtues. Now we call them kamalat, right? For example, adalat, justice, and knowledge. Knowledge in sense of, for example, philosophy, and also in terms of answers to practical questions. All of those things. So all these categories of knowledge, these are the things which every human worries about. Now, it is possible that people are distracted from these questions, right? It is possible that they are fed with wrong answers because their intellect is kept low, their mental abilities are weak, they have not been encouraged in a society to think, they have not been encouraged, for example, to explore. So such a society becomes a society of blind people. Whatever you tell them, they do it. When you don't encourage the people to think, right, naturally there will be less demand for answers. Less demand for answers means whatever you tell them, they accept it. Whatever you tell them, they accept it. A lot of people don't go as far as, for example, really answering basic questions. They don't go as far. Why don't they go? There's no, the motivation is not there. In Farsi they say angize, the motivation is not there to look for answers. For some people, now at the age of around adolescence, when you just become baligh, right, there is this natural tendency, natural inclination to question everything that your parents have told you. Question. Now that is a time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to every human. When you are young, your mind is just developed. Right? You question every single thing you have been told by your family, your society. And you want to reconstruct a belief system. Reconstruct, you know, a path which will give you some practical, you know, solutions. Reconstruct a social program for the society. You think about, for example, the society, what's wrong? I being part of the society, this energy drives this person. Now they start asking these questions, but the environment, the teachers, the family, the friends, the culture in which you live in may either encourage you to further this research or may completely discourage you from continuing on this path. And you give up after some time. Unfortunately, most young people nowadays just give up. And the reason is they plant doubts in their minds. Destructive doubts. You can have two kinds of doubts. Shak is not always good and not always bad. There are two kinds of doubts. There's a doubt that leads to research. You ask questions, for example, you think, you know, someone's getting sick, you say, why is he sick? And you think about it and you try to find solutions. You go to a doctor, another specialist, whatever. There's another doubt where you give up. You say, for example, doubt about beliefs, you know. And then someone says, you know what, religious people are just so divided, you know. Just leave everything. These mullahs, they say different things, don't have to worry about it. Right? This is a destructive doubt. When it does not lead to a systematic analysis and study of the subject. When you do not pursue any further research on the subject, then this doubt has destroyed you. This is not the kind of doubt which is praised. Because you have given up. Because of the confusion that has been created in the mind of young people, right? About, you know, religion, for example, religion has led to, for example, you plant this in the young person's mind. Religion has led to so much bloodshed in this world. We should stay away from that. You know? And this young person who has started feeling something inside, you know, that I am here for a purpose. There is someone I feel inside, you know. This the poet that says, "The andurune mane khastedil nadanam kist." This young person asks this question, you know, he feels, he says, that andurune mane khastedil. There's some voice inside of me is calling me. I am quiet, but he is speaking to me. This feeling inside, this is a spiritual feeling. Then the similarly philosophical questions that come up, for example, you know, who created this world? Basic question. Was it created? This universe, I mean, this whole universe, system you see in the stars at night, you see these stars and everything you see, were they created? Or were they always there? This is a question everyone asks. Were these always there? Were they created? Then this philosopher called Bertrand Russell. Bertrand Russell was an atheist. He was an atheist, very famous philosopher, you know. He said, "My father made me an atheist." How did my father make me an atheist? He said, "I was very small and I asked my dad, 'Dad,'" and his father was a priest, okay? Priest. "I asked my dad, 'Do you believe in God?'" Now a priest was preaching every Sunday in the church that, you know, God, God, God. Even his son is asking him, "Do you believe in God?" He says, "I cannot answer this question now. You have to grow up. Later on we'll see." Then this boy, he said, "I grew up, a teenager or something. Then I asked my dad, 'Do you believe in God?' Now that I've grown up some, you know, I've been to school." So he said, "I'm not going to answer this question." He said, "Why wouldn't you answer my question?" So he said, "Because if I tell you there is a God, I believe there is a God, then you are going to ask me who created the God. If God created me, then who created God? And I don't have an answer to that. When he said that, this boy gave up religion from that day. He said, "This my father, who is all his life preaching God, he's telling me, first of all these years he's not sure about there's a God or not, and then he has no answer to this basic question, that if there is a God, then who created that God?" This is a destructive doubt. Well, the answer is simple. Just like the light in this room is bright, correct? Where is the light coming from? Right now, tell me.
From the source.
From the source. What's the source right now?
Generated.
No, the light is coming from these bulbs up there, right? Where does the light of the bulb come from? The light of the bulb is its own light. Yes, the electric power came, but the light that's emitting is from the bulb, the source of the light. The sun, for instance, in daytime you stand outside, it's day. If I ask you, why is it daytime? Why is it bright? You say, because of the sun. How is the sun bright? The sun is bright because of its own light. It has its own, it's the source of the light itself. When Bertrand Russell would ask his dad, "Okay, who created me?" And the dad said, if the priest had told his son, "You were created by God." And he would say, "Who created God?" He said, God is the source of creation. He does not need to be created. One simple answer. Then this boy would have been talking to God every day, would have tried to be close to God, but he did not do that. This one doubt turned this child into an atheist. Allah does give you opportunity for us to say, for example, no one has choice, you grew up in whatever families. No, you always have a choice. But this, unfortunately, we put ourselves in situations, unfortunately society discourages us from studying philosophy, studying religion, studying, for example, other things. The program for social justice, how do you bring social justice society? There's so many recipes for that nowadays. Role of men and women in society. Everybody is making up things. There are feminists who make up other things, there are other people who give you other answers to all that. But a person needs to ask this question. For example, about the issue of our earnings. Well, Islam, in early Islam, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Holy Quran, please recite a salawat. In Suratul Anfal, this ayat of Holy Quran, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّمَا غَنِمْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمُسَهُ وَلِلْرَسُولِ وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَى عَبْدِنَا يَوْمَ الْفُرْقَانِ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Know that one-fifth, you should know, وَعْلَمُوا, know that one-fifth of what you acquire, right, غَنِمْتُمْ, غَنِمْتُمْ, the profits you acquire. One-fifth of whatever profits you make is for God and His apostles. And an apostle and for the relatives and orphans, you know, of the apostle, the poor and the wayfarers, if you truly believe in God and what we reveal to our prophet, our servant, on the day of victory over the infidels when the two armies clashed at Badr. For God has the power to do anything. Well, about one of the aspects of the social program in society is khums. There's one zakat, public charity. Everybody gives charity. Of course, in Shia law, zakat is on special things. It's on agricultural products. It's on cattle, you know, cows and sheep and all that. And it's on gold and silver in coins, in currency. That's about zakat. Alaykum salam. But khums is on earnings. Khums is on any profit you make. Ghanim wa'alamu. Know this. Know that certainly whatever Ghanimtum. Ghanimtum is from Ghanam, Ghanama, you know. Ghanima. Now Ghanimtum means whatever profits you acquire, whatever you earn. Harchib Changawardid, in Farsi they say, whatever comes to your hand, whatever you were able to get, acquire, there is 1/5 of that for Allah and His Prophet. So we in Shia law we call it khums. In Surah Al-Anfal, this ayat from Surah Al-Anfal, we call it the khums. And unlike zakat, which is charity, khums is not a charity. Because zakat is charity, can go to anyone. Of course, the zakat of a non-sayyid, wajib zakat, cannot be given to a sayyid. But non-wajib zakat can be given. Non-wajib zakat can be given to a non-wajib sadaqah, that is. For example, you dig a well as a sadaqah, as a kari khair, You dig a well where people need water. Naturally, everyone can drink water from this well. Sayyid, non-sayyid, all can. Charity is for helping the poor people in need. Khums is for two reasons. Khums is a resource to support imamat. Leadership of Islam. Imamat, right? Imamat means leadership. Now, imamat of an imam masoom, alaykum salam. Or imamat in the time of ghaybat of a wali faqih, faqih adil, jama al-sharait, a mujtahid who is jama al-sharait. He is. So, khums, basically, half of the khums goes, which is, they call it sahm imam. It is the haq of the imam. It is the portion that is to support imamat. Sunni people don't give khums. Although this is ayat in Holy Quran. This ayat in Holy Quran clearly says, and ulama, Sunni ulama have a consensus, they believe that this ayat is for khums. But they say it is on mali ghanimat. Mali ghanimat means, for example, in a war, you are able to get something, horses, other armor, money, whatever, slaves. In battle, in war, you used to get prisoners, slaves, all of that. You used to get. These are amwal ghanaimul harb. The ghanaimul harb. But ghanaim is not limited to mal ghanimat. Early Islam, because of the poverty in Medina, people did not have any extra money to give. So one view about khums, in understanding, for example, is that, well, in those times, because of the poverty, you see that the Holy Prophet, although this verse came down, he mentioned in many of the letters he wrote to different tribes, he asked them to pay khums. But for everyday life, khums was, a more frequent source of khums was the mal ghanimat in those times. Because there were so many battles. They were under attack all the time. Either from the people of Makkah, the Quraysh attacked Medina. So there was encounters, and some money would land into the hands of Muslims. So from that, 1/5 of that was given as khums. Or for example, they would occupy a place or other things, right? There was khums on that. So that became a more popular example of mal ghanimat. But ghanimtum, the Holy Quran talking about ghanimtum means all prophets. As from those letters of Holy Quran, letters of the Holy Prophet to other tribes. And also because of later on, the situation changed, there was more prosperity, right? Tijarat, trade increased. People were making more money. There was affluence in the society. You see that there is more emphasis on khums as the time passed from the Holy Prophet's time to the later imams. There's more explanation, more ahadith on the issue of khums. Right? Why? Because now it is a mas'alatun mubtala bih, as in call in Arabic. There are certain religious issues which are not mubtala. They're not so needed every day, Like salat, we pray, we do every day. So we need to know the rules of salat. Right? But for zakat, For you all living in the United States, those of you, most of us don't have agricultural land. So the issue of zakat for me and you is not something mubtala bih. That means we are not encountering this problem every day. Fasting is a mas'alatun, is a mas'ala which is mubtala bih, which is needed every day. Every year you have to fast, so you need to know the rules of fasting. Or for example, rules about buying a slave, selling a slave, well, those are not needed anymore. There was a time when people had slaves, now they don't have slaves. They had slaves because there were more wars and people were captured, they were captives. Those captives became slaves. Instead of putting them in camps or putting them in jail, the people used to, Muslim families used to keep them as slaves, and they gradually, they converted to Islam. And many, and Islam always talks about free the slaves, let them go, free. But you know, that was the way. So there's no need for studying the rules about Abid and Emma. Rules about keeping slaves, buying slaves, or there's no need for those ahkam. The need for those ahkam arises when you have to deal with that issue every day. When you are working and you have extra income at the end of the year, even if it's $100, there was a time people didn't have a dollar left in their pockets. Now we have some money left. So the issue of homes becomes an issue which is mubtala bih. Because we have some extra money. So from that extra money, our savings at the end of the year, then Islam says, tashayyu, you know. Because we are Shias, we pay khums. If we are Sunnis, we will not pay khums. Why? Although it's in Quran, but they don't accept it. Why they don't accept? They limit it to mal ghanimat, ghanayimul harb. They say it's from the booty of war. If there's a war, you capture people or you have money in your hand from that battlefield, then you pay khums from that. They limit Ahlul Sunnah, they limit the meaning of ghanimat to that. It's a very narrow example. We don't have the example anymore. Which country are you attacking? Which capture? Which prisoners are you capturing? Where are you going to the battlefield? Nobody is. So the need, there is no need to talk about mal ghanimat. But the need is because you are making profits. We are earning. Arbahul makasib, they call it. Arbahul makasib. Profits from trade. You are working, you have some investment. People give you gifts, expensive gifts, some ulama believe, expensive gifts. Or you have gifts purchased and you are just keeping them, you are not giving to anyone. A year passes. So you see, these